views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. You may be listening on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, or perhaps WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York. Perhaps you're listening on cable radio network somewhere in the United States, one of the 35 stations in Australia, or somewhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from, you're going to be happy you're joining us here today, because we're going to have an important conversation about our furry companion friends. Some people refer to them as pets. I think that we don't own them. They own us. But if you've ever had a pet or you have one now, you don't want to miss the conversation today. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half in the studio who allows you to hear the conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi there. I do as much as I can to allow that. And I've heard the old adage as far as, you know, dogs have masters, cats have staff. So we could spin that however we want today for the show.
Right. Well, I always refer to myself as my my cat's human.
Yes.
Because, you know, yes, I have cats, but they have me as well.
We connect very closely with our furry friends.
Yes, we do.
And we'll do that today.
And love them in ways that, you know, I don't think we love others on this planet. It's an interesting relationship. We're going to talk to the author of a couple of really wonderful books about this subject. Today, my guest is Elizabeth Allen. She was born in Dublin, Ireland, and she moved into the U.S. via a green card lottery back in the 1990s. She loves to help educate pet owners about health and well-being, because she really does believe that the more educated a pet owner is, the happier and healthier the pet will be. She speaks and writes on the subject of both of grief, you know, grieving the loss of our animals and animal grief. She supports pet owners with animal hospice education. And this is something really rare because, you know, I've just been through this, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, losing my cat. It just seems like there's not a lot of support out there for people whose pets are reaching the end of their lives. So she helps people learn about how to deal with the hospice stage of things with their pets. And she also does intuitive counseling and helps animals and their humans plan for the end of their lives. She's a poet and a novelist, and she's got a background in holistic veterinary medicine, animal nutrition, and pet environmentalism. She's the author of two beautiful books. One is called Love Crosses Over, and the other is called Manifesting Mongrel. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Elizabeth Allen. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. Wow, I want to talk to me.
Well, sometimes when we're following our passion in life, I think that the achievements just kind of stack up and we're just living our path. And you know, clearly you're doing this because when I read your books, you have such heart invested in them. They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I literally, when I wrote both of them, it was during a time when I was feeling what I was writing. Mm-hmm. And it just came out on the paper. And I thought, well, it helped me and it can possibly help other people. And so when you're reading what you're reading, you're reading a piece of my heart.
Yes. And it's a piece of my heart, too, in a sense, because as many of the listeners know, and I think I just mentioned to you, About 2 months ago, I lost my beloved furry companion, Oreo. She was my cat for 11 years. Really bright light, unusual in a lot of senses. And, you know, I felt so completely untethered, unwhole afterwards. So as I'm reading your book, I have to tell you, I went through a whole lot of tissues because it's just it touches upon something deeply. Elizabeth, do you feel that we humans who have our furry companions tend to love them differently than we love other humans?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think it's quite a unique kind of love, and it doesn't exist with another human being. It's it's unique for a number of reasons in that they never grow up, right?
Uh-huh.
They never leave home.
Right.
It's an unconditional love that forces us to really be in the moment should we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we lose them, it's quite an undiagnosed grief that doesn't get a lot of airtime.
Yes.
That the regular, unless you know somebody else who is as deeply bonded as you are to the pet,
right.
Because the deeply bonded pet owner has a deep grief, and unless you know somebody who's been through it, you're quite alone.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting because I didn't find myself so alone, but I realized that my kids, besides, getting support from me and their father, their friends didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, after we buried our Oreo, he said, "I'm not going to go to football practice this week, Mom. I just can't deal with it. This isn't the summertime." And I'm like, "Oh, I support you in that." And he got such flack from some of his friends for not going to football practice and acting like everything was normal just, right after his cat passed away. Strange.
Yeah, but how great of you to allow him to honor his grief in the way that he thought was possible.
Yes.
You know, so that's there's children go through the grieving process too, and when they're allowed the space to grieve and talk about it, it brings great healing, and it kind of sets them up pretty well for possible future losses,
right, and future connections too, because I think that if we don't process that pain properly, we block ourselves from loving again.
Oh, we do indeed. I think, the world it's full of unexpressed grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe great healing lies there waiting to be greeted. You know, there's such benefits of expressing our grief in a safe and comfortable environment.
Yes, yes. And, when you were talking about the unique connection that we have with animals, the other thing that dawned on me is I've had such a physical relationship, petting the furry friend, some of us have lap animals where we have this physical connection off and on all day long, day in, day out for many years. And then suddenly that's gone too.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge component of it. I have a lovely client at the moment who lost two of her furry kids back to back.
Oh, dear.
And herself and her husband, they're just going through some very deep grief, and it's some months out from the actual physical death. But the hardest part for them is the physical missing.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're right on about that.
Yeah, and I think that, we'll talk more about this as we move along in the conversation, but I know that you and many others believe that we can connect with our animals one way or another after they pass. And yet when we're in the midst of the deep grieving and focusing so much on the lack, it makes it more difficult to do exactly that.
It can and it can't, because here's another way of looking at that too. I believe when we're in deep grief, mm-hmm. when that's all we're feeling, that the veil between this world and the next becomes thinner.
Really?
And I think, yeah, I do. At least that's been my experience, because in the deep grief, I'm in surrender.
Mm.
And when I'm in surrender, I'm in allowing. And when I'm in allowing, miracles happen.
Yes.
It's when, my ego is no longer in place, my personality has just disappeared, and I am open to the blessings and the miracles of the mystery of life and living and loss.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I've experienced little signs from the other side.
What kind of signs have you experienced?
For example, let's see, when my Juno passed, mm-hmm. I could hear him barking in the house for a couple of days after he was gone.
Yeah.
And when my cat Eli Brown passed, I went for a acupuncture appointment a few days after his loss.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was grieving okay. I thought, this is fine. I've got this. I do this for a living, you know.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I lay down on my healer's table, and he put in the needles, and he put on some lovely music, and he left the room. And this huge wave of grief came over me.
Mm-hmm.
And then right away, I could feel little paws on my chest making cookies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's just been just a few of my experiences. Right. Yeah,
and it's interesting that you say that, because I remember after my sweet Oreo passed, she had cancer at the end of her life, lymphoma, and we were giving her, you know, a couple of different kinds of medications. Not, we didn't do the whole chemo round, but we did some medications and some homeopathic stuff as well. And she hated to have stuff stuffed in her mouth. And I remember, like, you know, throwing out the medication with force into the trash can, because I knew I wasn't going to have to stuff it into her mouth anymore. And I kind of had this, like, anger towards it, because it didn't fix things for me, you know, for her. And, you know, I put away her food dish, and then I unplugged her little water fountain, and I got this distinct message, plug it back in. So I plugged it back in. She used to like to sit by it. And every once in a while, I just sort of catch a glimpse out of the corner of my eye, kind of like there was this ethereal energy sitting there, like she was still sitting by her fountain, and that I needed to respect that and allow her to stay in the environment, you know, in that form.
Yeah. Good for you for being connected to that energy and those signs and listening.
Yeah. And it's sort of tough, because we often will judge ourselves because of what, you know, we've learned growing up, what society says, how we might be judged by others. But it just feels really important to honor our process.
It does. It's very important to honor the process, and everyone's got a completely different one, you know, and tapping into that can be hard, because life can dilute it down to just some kind of logical understanding, and the heart isn't logical.
No, it's not. It's
you
not.
Know?
Which, you know, has its pluses and its minuses.
Yeah,
we have to go to a quick break, but more with the wonderful Elizabeth Allen when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hi, this is Victoria Cohen, psychotherapist and soul coach here in Seattle. I'm giving a workshop called Thank Goodness for Gratitude at East West Bookshop, September 21st from 1 to 4. Gratitude works its magic as an antidote to challenging emotions, offering us an uplifting alternative to fear, anger, resentment, envy, regret, and depression.
Call to register for the event at 206-523-3726 or online at eastwestbookshop.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored, and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella, one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums. John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field field of paranormal studies, Countess Storella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Storella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Storella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the new mainstream in radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to author Elizabeth Allen. And before we get back into conversation, I just want to read a section of Love Crosses Over for our listeners because, Elizabeth, I love the way you write. So,
thank you.
Okay. So it starts out, Harley was an impulsive purchase. $150 and there I was, driving home with a little brown fluff ball of joy tucked in my T-shirt. He became my coming out of a relationship purchase. He would fill the void quite nicely, I imagined. What will I call you? At that precise moment, a Harley-Davidson bike drove by, and that was it. I'll spell it differently, just to annoy people, just to be a little bit more contrived than I already was. Yes, perfect. He snuggled into what would eventually become his nook of choice between my left shoulder and chin, and a love story began as my heart moved into a locked and fixed position in my chest, as though this was the piece which had always been missing. And in this fast-moving world, we had finally managed to find our way to each other. And as I cuddled in close to him that very first night, inhaling the scent of unconditional love, I knew I had been moving towards him my entire life. I just love the way you write. It's so vivid in terms of the visuals and the emotions. It's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. And just by reading that, you brought back a lot of memory to me. So thank you.
So you had a very special relationship with Harley. How did that unfold and how did that, you know, ultimately resolve?
Harley was an impulsive purchase, as I said, mm-hmm. and he was a miniature pincher, chihuahua mix, and a little brown guy. And he was around for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of his life, he started having seizures. He only had the focus of me. I was his only person, so mm-hmm. he didn't trust anybody else.
Uh-huh.
So it was a full-time job, to be honest. Just like kids are a full-time job, Harley was a full-time job.
Right.
And I made him my focus, and then he started having seizures, and we never really found out what the seizures were from as hard as I tried. And then he had some cluster seizures, and I tried everything I could. You know, I would always take Harley to this appointment or that appointment, and mm-hmm. I thought this appointment will help him or that will help him. And I was always on the hunt for the next thing that would help him, because you're constantly raising the bar, right?
Sure.
Because you're looking for not necessarily a cure, but you think you are, but a healing.
Uh-huh.
And one day I came to the conclusion, as we were driving back from a chiropractic appointment, I looked at him and I could hear him telling me, all I want is to be with you, Mom.
Aww.
And that was 2 days before he died.
Oh, dear.
And then he had a bunch of other seizures. And within 24 hours, I was at the vet and letting him go.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kindest thing I could do for him. Mm-hmm. And as I released him into spirit, I could feel his spirit leave his body, go right through my heart, and go out the top of my head.
Wow.
And it was a pretty incredible feeling to feel that energy go through me because I was very rooted to the ground. I was holding sacred ground. I knew what I had to do. Mm-hmm. And I believe in those moments, like, you know, spirit steps in and gives you the strength to do these unthinkable things.
Oh, I know. And that's, it's one of the most difficult things I think we can do is to support our pets in their transition.
Yes, yes. One of the most difficult things for pet owners to contemplate, and one of the most common questions that I get asked by people, you know, is, when will I know it's time?
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want to give a contrived, boring answer like, you'll just know. But the mm-hmm. truth is, you'll just know.
Yeah. And then for me with Oreo, I was second guessing myself, but I knew, you know, she'd been getting better. And then the kids went out of town with their father. And all of a sudden she got withdrawn. She wasn't coming out. She wasn't eating much. Eventually she wasn't drinking as much water. And I knew, and I didn't want to face it. And then it's the whole process is, how do we support them when we have great attachment, when we don't want to let them go?
At the very end, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. It was a tough thing to navigate because it's a matter of, you know, I want to support this soul on her process, and yet I want to keep her, you know, in my heart and in my house. You know, it's like I didn't want to let her go. And for me, at the very end, I slept with her in my lap, and the vet had said, you know, she's likely to suffer given that she's got lymphoma. You know, you may want to consider, you know, the euthanasia approach. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that with my kids gone. Not until they can be here. And so in the middle of the night, she was in my lap and she started breathing strangely. I thought, oh, gosh, maybe she's starting to suffer. And then I called out. I said to the angels, to her guides, whoever's there, to please help her. And then she took her last breath. So it was such a sacred and, you know, profoundly beautiful process, but so hard to support, you know, and be there.
Oh, sweetheart, I know, but how beautiful that you kind of set your intention and you allowed spirit to guide both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
It can happen.
And it's so difficult to, you know, to sort of go through this transition process with them and not have them be able to tell you directly, you know, this is, I'm feeling pain right now. I'm feeling confusion, or, you know, I'm not going to my litter box because it smells funny, or I can't make it to my litter box because my legs are weak. You know, we don't have the same kind of communication. So it's a really tough thing to navigate.
It is a tough thing to navigate, and sometimes it takes a village, you know, and that's really why I continue doing what I do, because I truly believe that, you know, when you have a caregiver team kind of set up, you can navigate more gracefully through it.
Yes.
And that can mean different things to different people. It can be a classically trained homeopath. It can be an animal communicator. It can be a Reiki practitioner who works
right.
on them.
Uh-huh.
It can be a host of things. But, you know, truly, I don't believe there's any way that you can get love wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, say that again. That's a good one.
There's no way to get love wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like death really has a life all of its own. And it's not separate from life, it's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see it approaching, you know, and if we can face it consciously and enter into it with the animal, with this conscious decision to make the best of this, because it's also part of life.
Right.
Who's to say that that's wrong?
Yes. So how do you support your clients?
Any way they want, really. And it's mostly, I'll be honest, it's mostly just compassionate listening, because I truly believe that everybody has what they need for this part of the journey. We get into fear, we get into not knowing, and we think, I don't have what it takes for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there to tell everybody that, no, yes, you do. You have what it takes to do this. You know, society will tell you if it's painful, if it's unpleasant, cut it off,
right.
get rid of it.
Right.
I'm here to tell you, if it's painful and it's unpleasant, lean into it. Because when you lean into it, that's the mystery of life. I've never become enlightened because because I've had a joyful experience. You know, I've become enlightened because of the pain and the sorrow and the sadness, because I truly believe that grief turned inside out is self-realization.
Wow. You know, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I was on the Dr. Pat show, and I was talking all about letting go and how expansive it is. And it really does feel like when you're forced to let go of things, whether it be a beloved animal or the passing of, a human you've loved, or, you know, getting fired from a job, whatever, you start to strip away who you aren't and start to explore who you truly are and how you're connected. And it can be incredibly expansive, but you're right. It's painful as all get out.
Yeah. It is stripping away the not self, right?
Yes, yes. You know, we're going to have to go another quick break soon. But before we go to break, I want you to share with listeners how they can reach you on the internet.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have a website, and it is Elizabeth, M as in Mary, J as in Joan, Allen, Allen.com.
Okay, so that's ElizabethJMAllen.com, and you can connect with her there. And, you know, we're going to have her back in just a few minutes, but I wanted to again mention the names of her two books about animals, Manifesting Mongrel and Love Crosses Over. And we'll be back in a few moments on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galioscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the best in talk radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. And that's some of Benny Mather's magic here in the studio.
I brought them all in here.
Yeah, now apparently we've got about a dozen cats singing music here in the studio today.
Young at Heart, by the way.
Yes.
That was from the Jingle Cats album. If anybody wants to go out and get it, it's actually for
Jingle
purchase.
Jingle Cats.
It's actually out there. The Rhythm and Muse.
Rhythm and Muse, I like
right.
that.
Meow, Muse. Yeah, there we go. Happens.
I'm talking today with author Elizabeth Allen. And, you know, Elizabeth, you talk about supporting people through the sort of like the end of their pet life transitions, the transitioning of their pets. What role do animals play in our lives here on Earth?
I believe animals are the true healers on the planet. I think they're the windows to our soul. I think they're ushering in healing to a degree we cannot even comprehend with our limited senses.
Right.
I think they're little vortices of light all over the planet.
Yes.
And to think that our shelters are full of healers.
Oh, I know. It's absolutely tragic. And, you know, working in the energy healing realm, it was sort of interesting because, you know, I had manifested this beautiful Oreo into my life. And then ultimately, you know, she just had this sense of this Zen quality to her. And then after she passed, I realized that she had been playing a role in my life that I didn't really fully understand until she was gone. And from, you know, I'm very sensitive energetically. And I realized that, you know, I work in sort of the higher frequency realms, you know, the intuitive, the healing realm. She was helping to take that higher frequency energy and ground it around me and into me. And suddenly she wasn't there for me anymore. And I just felt completely untethered. And so I really got a strong sense that she was playing an important role, not only for me, but for my many clients that I've dealt with over the years. And then she was gone. And it's like, yes, she was a little healer.
Oh, absolutely. There's a few friends that I have that are also in the healing profession. And one of them, she has an acupuncture clinic, and she has a little dog that she's been with before in many lifetimes that has managed to come back and helps her heal the clients. She pops up on their lap as they're having a treatment,
right.
and you can just feel it.
Yes. Oh, it was interesting because when Oreo was quite ill, she'd gone from about 9 pounds, a petite cat, but from about 9 pounds down to about 3.5 pounds, and she lost some fur. She was looking rather emaciated. And there was a couple that came to my house for sessions, and they were dealing with some major grief. And I won't even go into details about it. But she dragged herself out of whatever little, you know, cozy corner she was hiding in to go and just like rub up against these people's legs. It's kind of like she knew that they in particular needed her energy. Despite the fact that she was so ill, she was there for them.
Oh, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I, my first cat that I had just reminds me of her. Her name was Fiona, and she was a healer. She was my first pet, really, in my adult life. And she got a number of different cancers.
Yeah.
And she was my introduction to animal hospice. I had done it for a year, but I didn't really know that that's what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And towards her last few weeks, I couldn't, like, make that call, right? I couldn't. But what I know now, she was in the active dying process.
What is the active dying process?
The active dying process is the path that most animals really know how to take. You know, most pain can be managed in life. It's kind of spiritual pain sometimes for us humans that we can't manage, you know, but physical pain can be managed. And if you have that on board, you know, an animal can sometimes really lead the way. And the active dying process is, you know, maybe a week or two before the animal is going to get ready to pass, they're going to withdraw.
Uh-huh.
They're going to stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 4 to 5 days, they're going to stop drinking water.
Right.
And they know what's going on. And I truly believe, my own belief system, that when an animal is in that stage, they leave their body a lot. They're not,
because
I remember Fiona in her last few days, she wasn't in her body. I would look at her and I go, oh, you're out of your body. And then she would pop back in just to say hello and then pop right back out again. And in her last day or two, I said to her, listen, it's my birthday. And if you're going to stay for my birthday, I'll make the call the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did take her to the vet, and we did euthanize her. But on the last night, I had a bunch of friends come over, and she had taken up residence in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, I don't know if Fiona's going to come out and say hello, but she did. Mm-hmm. And she came out to my friends, and she just looked at them, and she was very thin, like you said. And to
right.
my friends, they were a little bit shocked,
uh-huh.
you know, because she didn't look well. But she came out to say hello, and then she went right back. But what I truly believe also, when you talk about animals being healers, is that they can do far more than we can even comprehend. I believe animals are capable of even cellular transfer. I believe
they're capable of what?
Cellular transfer.
Cellular transfer. Okay.
Yeah, of taking damaged cells in our body, be it, you know, sick cells, cancer, whatever it is, out of our body and into their own. And I believe that happens, and I believe that's what happened with Fiona. I believe that's why she got incredibly sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't prove it. I can't prove it at all, but I
sure.
believe they can take not only our emotional pain and our spiritual pain, but also our physical pain out of our body.
Interesting.
And it's no problem for them because they're here to be of service.
Yes, and it's interesting because with Oreo, you know, she was diagnosed and the vet said that she probably only had, you know, anywhere from a couple of days to maybe a week at the outset to live. And so I was out of town. I flew home. I spent the day with her, you know, grieving and connecting and talking to her. And then, of course, I called my healer friends because I had so much attachment, even though I could work on her. Having attachment kind of gets in the way. And I was going through a transition in my life where, you know, I was moving to a new house. Going through a process of separating, you know, leading to divorce, and my son was going to have to start going back and forth between the two houses. I really feel that Oreo, instead of passing away, she chose to stay a few more months to help with that transition. And so she stuck around, and the transition occurred, and things began to work out well, and suddenly she exited. So it was almost like she was there to be in service to the very end, you know, well beyond what, you know, anybody had predicted.
Oh, that's incredible, and I truly believe that, too. Even as you say that, I get chills. Both of my little dogs, I no longer have little dogs, but
uh-huh.
both of them got me to new places to live by doing certain things that I was like, oh, okay.
Such as what?
Right.
What did
well,
they do?
Harley used to pee inside a lot.
Oh, dear.
And he saw no difference between lifting his leg on a chair versus lifting his leg outside. The chair mm-hmm. was always closer.
Right.
Oh, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
That caused a big problem in a relationship that I had. And I was like, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move out and we're going to get a nice home. And he got me to the home, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks before he passed. And I remember when I was moving in my last box
uh-huh.
and Harley was sitting in the garden, and he looked at me and he did a little circle and he plopped on the ground. And I swear I could have heard the words, finally,
uh-huh.
I've got her here.
Yes.
I can rest. And then he rested. And then he passed a few weeks later.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. So tell me, do you feel that animals reincarnate into other animals to come back to us?
Absolutely. You know, if they can get here this time, it's no surprise they'll get here the next time, right?
Right.
But it's not a far stretch for me at all.
Uh-huh.
And I believe when, like, they don't have to come back in the same body or even looking the same.
Uh-huh.
But if you're out there and you're looking for another animal and you feel something that's familiar,
mm-hmm.
energy that's familiar,
right.
then, you know, don't try to double guess it.
Yes.
You know, we try to, our logical brain is like, oh, that can't possibly be true, or that can't possibly happen. And I believe that it's available to, you know, sooner than we think. You know, some animals may not want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our hearts, you know, if we want them to come back, I think it's possible. You
yes.
know, I don't know that we can manufacture or make it happen, but I believe it's possible.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because with Oreo, I got the information both myself intuitively, and one of my friends who you know, began to channel information from Oreo, was that she was going to stay on the property and help manage the energy there. It's a very sacred piece of land. And in fact, I'm going to be building my new office there on the property, because I want to bring, you know, clients and small workshops there as well. So I knew that she wasn't going to reincarnate right away, but I also felt that she was offering guidance to get, you know, other kittens or a kitten. And so my son and I were, you know, we looked at some of the shelters, and I was looking online, and it's sort of opening the heart, and, you know, oh, that kitten's so cute, and wow, I miss my Oreo, you know, the back and forth of grieving and thinking about new potential. And then all of a sudden on Craigslist, I saw this photograph, and it's like, them, you know, I need to go see them. And as I was talking about on the air yesterday, it was funny because I did a little map question. It was 1 hour, 11 minutes away from my house to their house. And 111 is a type of activation that I co-created and do. And the telephone number had 222 in it. And that's another activation. And so it's kind of like, oh, I was getting the validation. Yes, you're on the right path. But what I couldn't predict is that I'd end up with not one, not two, but three of them. And I got intuitive information after, when trying to decide about the third, that she was going to help me complete my relationship with my previous cat, Topaz. So I don't know if she's reincarnated or what, but it's interesting because it's like bringing, you know, other stages, other animals, you know, back into my sort of psyche and my process.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. I do believe that they do become spirit guides for us, whether they physically come back or not.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, to help us and, you know, beyond this realm there. I think they're readily available to us, not like humans, you know. I think animals tend to stick around a little bit closer and guide us to maybe get the next pet or to do a number of things. That's fantastic.
Right. And, you know, we're going to have to go to another quick break, but when we return, I'm really going to want you to give your perspective on how people can know if and when to euthanize some of their pets, because it's always a tough thing to navigate. But we'll return with Elizabeth Allen here on the Christine Upchurch Show in just a few moments.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show.
on the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
You've been listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the new mainstream in radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking with Elizabeth Allen, who is the author of Manifesting Mongrel and Love Crosses Over. And, you know, I know, Elizabeth, that you support pet owners or pet humans, shall I say, because I don't think we really own our pets in the way we often think of ownership. You support them in kind of navigating some of the later stages of the pet's lives. What advice do you have for people to assess, like, when is it time to euthanize? And is it time to, you know, does this animal want to be euthanized or want to cross over naturally?
Right. That's a huge question, and it's probably one of the most commonly asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that every pet parent should have a veterinarian that they trust completely, and they have on their team for these kind of big questions,
right,
you know?
Right.
I definitely don't answer those kind of questions, but I believe that there, you know, if we are grounded, if we are connected with our own source, if we are honoring the unique relationship we have with our animal, we'll find the answer to that question in the moment-to-moment process of the end-of-life process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't look at it like, I tell people, try and use the word release rather than terminate a life. Like, uh-huh, you're releasing your animal into spirit. Some animals, despite our best intentions and despite our lip service, like, it's time to go, you can go, it's okay, I'm going to be fine, they can't let go. And I don't know why that is.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've had some animals that have gone naturally, and then some that had to be assisted.
Yes, me too.
And yeah, and the one that went naturally, and my cat Eli, it was 2 weeks after my father had passed, so I was in deep grief.
Oh my goodness,
and
yes.
When I got his diagnosis, I came home with my says, you are dying at home, and that is all there is to it. And he looked at me and he said, okay, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this intention that I set. There was no other option for us. I only used homeopathy. He didn't want any drugs. And he passed in my arms, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of paved the way for a less intense grieving process for me.
Right.
I was able to really accept his passing, and he taught me a lot about what animals are capable of if we let them, if we let go of our fear, because fear isn't real. You know, it's not real. It's something that we fabricate. The only thing that really is real is love. You know, the world is innocent, and love is the only thing that's real. And if we can settle into that, I believe that more animals can pass naturally. But we need to get that education out to people.
Mm.
And in this fast-moving society that we live in, you know, people want to, you know, hurry along to the end result, you know?
Right. And I think that it's having done it both ways, you know, euthanized my last cat who was in pain, and she was actually asking us to give her help, to, you know, being with Oreo as she passed naturally. It's in some ways, I think, tougher to allow it to happen naturally because you don't have any control. It's totally up to them. it's sort of foreign territory for most of us to be with somebody who's passing. And so it requires a certain level of willingness to be openly vulnerable to our own pain and to a mysterious process.
Oh, yeah. You've said it beautifully. I couldn't say it any better. It is a mysterious process, this end-of-life thing. You know, it's unique to every pet and to every human. And I truly believe, again, you can't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it wrong. And if you can just, if pet parents can just hold on to that and if believe in that, then they can let go of, you know, berating themselves like, oh, I did it too early, mm-hmm. or they were going to go by themselves, if only I'd known more. Right. And that's, again, going back to my core belief system, is that if we get connected to pet parents and stay connected to them for the entire length of the end-of-life journey, they will have a better end-of-life process. I am all in favor of a good death, no matter what that looks like,
right.
assisted or unassisted, because when an animal has a good death, we have a better legacy, we have a better healing process, and then the human is more likely to go out there, go to the shelter, mm-hmm. get another animal, and move on with their life, right?
And I think ultimately it kind of paves the way for us as humans to have a good death.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because humans, we're more likely to talk about our animals passing mm-hmm. than we are about, like, say, if you had your mom in hospice or your dad in hospice. People don't really want to hear that.
Yes. Oh, I know.
You know?
They're very uncomfortable with it. You know,
they're very uncomfortable.
Here, gone, but not the in-between stuff's not so comfortable.
Not so comfortable. You're absolutely right. But people will sit and chat about their animals passing and mm-hmm. the end of life because they want to feel some sort of connection and they want to have hope that the animal has gone somewhere whereby they'll see them again.
Mm-hmm. So when is it right for somebody to open their hearts to a new pet after the pet has passed?
Oh, that's a tough question, too. But I just got asked that by a lady last week. Her cat had passed about 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and she did assisted at the vet's practice, and she had a really horrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they weren't trained in just, you know, they didn't have good bedside manner. So she was kind of reeling from that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, she goes, I really want another cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just listening to her, and I said, are you waiting for me to say, yes, that's good, or yes, that's bad? I said, because mm-hmm. you won't hear either one from me.
Right.
And I said, you've got to listen to your heart. And I believe for myself that, you know, if I had four before, then I can do four again.
Uh-huh.
But some people, you know, it just depends on the connection to the animal they had. It depends on their healing process. And if their heart center, like their heart chakra, is closed down
mm-hmm.
because of the grief and the pain and the rawness of it all, it really makes sense to wait until that's healed and open again.
Yes.
Because if you bring an animal into an environment that isn't ready for the animal, that could also be quite horrible for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been sort of interesting for me because I got the kittens far sooner than I expected to. It was, you know, about a month after Oreo had passed. And I'm still grieving some. You know, I'm sure I'll grieve her not being there this Christmas, you know, those sorts of things. But my heart was open enough to really connect and find some joy in the interaction with them. But there have been a couple of times when I've been processing some grief, and it's really interesting to see there are a couple kittens in particular who will attend to me during that process, kind of like, okay, she needs me right now. I'm going to go stand by her, or I'm going to, like, go climb on her lap and sniff at her face and see what's going on. And so it's, you know, for me, it's like I'm glad I didn't wait until I was completely done grieving. But wouldn't have wanted to do it any sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. You listened to your own desire, and you went out and you did it. And I love that your cats are coming in and trying to get you back in alignment, shall we say.
Yes.
And isn't that the best kind of friend?
It is.
A friend
it's great.
Who will not let you be out of alignment any longer than you have to be
because
they want you to be happy.
Yes. Oh, and they're so wonderful, you know, our furry companions. And I think it's wonderful, Elizabeth, what you do, what you offer to people. Can you again share with our listeners your website?
Sure. It's Elizabeth, M as in Mary, J as in Joan, Allen.com.
And again, the books are entitled Manifesting Mongrel and Love Crosses Over, two beautiful books. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us here today. I just love your work, and I've so enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much, Christine. It was really enjoyable for me, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I thank you for joining us here today. Wanted to share with listeners that had a show yesterday that you may not have listened to. It was I was guest hosting and guesting on the Dr. Pat Show. If you want to catch the archive of that about letting go and the expansive nature of that, please check out my website, stellarreflections.com. It's going to be posted on the radio show page. Also, I'm going to be teaching or doing an hour-long free teleseminar on vibrational structures. I know many of you have heard me refer to the 111 activation, the 222 activation, this energetic stuff that I do. I'm going to be sort of explaining to people why, if you want to change the patterns in your life, you should change the patterns in your vibrational field. That's September 24th. Again, it's on my website under the events. Thank you for joining us here today, and I will talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Victoria Cohen, psychotherapist and soul coach here in Seattle. I'm giving a workshop called Thank Goodness for Gratitude at East West Bookshop, September 21st from 1 to 4. Gratitude works its magic as an antidote to challenging emotions, offering us an uplifting alternative to fear, anger, resentment, envy, regret, and depression.
Call to register for the event at 206-523-3726 or online at eastwestbookshop.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella, one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums. John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.